It's a great privilege to share the Word of God with you this morning. Hope everybody is awake enough. I see a few that are sleeping still. But I think for the most part, everybody has their eyes mostly open, right? Right, Joshua? As soon as I look at him, he looks away. Today I wish to speak to you about the family, among other things. Your family, my family, and the great blessing that family is. We are being constantly attacked in that area, among others, as Christians, in this day and age. It's a focal point for the attacks of Satan and the world against us. So I think it's very appropriate to be persistent, to be constant and often talking about the importance of the family, the importance of children, the importance of marriage, the importance of bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. These are important subjects that if we don't hold tight to them, if we don't persist prayerfully, make it a point to protect and to fill our minds with what the Bible says about it, we are in danger of going a different direction with our families. And church is important. Family is important. Everything is important. But the family is for sure one of the things that God Himself has instituted and made it very clear in His Word that we ought to pursue its sanctification, its unity, and just protect it fiercely in this day and age already. So I want to point you to a passage that is very well known for all of us, and that is Psalm chapter 127. And I think most of us know what it says, know it by heart, and we hold it in great esteem as one of the blessings of God to the family. Let's read it there. I'm going to read it, and I want you to follow with your sight, and let's hear from the Lord what He has to say to us, even if we know this verse, this chapter very, very well. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for us, for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. And then the great words that we hold so dearly to. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows, then it says, are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You will speak to us today. May this day be a day where we reaffirm our commitment to a godly family, a godly seed. That You will make us, Lord, more and more committed and to persevere in the keeping of this institution that you've created for us, that is the family that is so important. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless me with the right words to say. And I just pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to take control in this time. I acknowledge my need of you. And that's why I plead the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want to point to is the title of this psalm. It is called A Song of Degrees for Solomon. So in other words, these psalms, the songs of degrees, and this one in particular was written to a son. Okay? But the first, how many of you want to see here, how many of you have heard an explanation of what Song of Degrees means? Can I see some hands? Have you an explanation of Song of Degrees, that phrase? Well, we've seen it often, but it was interesting to me to kind of look into it a little closer. The Song of Degrees, and that is a good title for it, a good translation, as long as we understand those degrees as increments, as increasing, okay? So another way to put it is a song of ascension, or of ascent, of growing, or climbing up, of progression, okay? Going up, and Spurgeon calls them the songs of the going up, okay? It's not a sudden increase, but it is a gradual increase. And these psalms were used by the children of Israel to sing in their traveling to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship God, or to hear the word of God preached. So from all these 15 psalms, they are clustered together in the middle of the psalms from 120 to 134, and there you're going to see that they're all called that, Song of Degrees. But with time, these songs started to be sung in that caravan of people, of families, going from their place where they were or they lived to worship God. And so you see through the psalm, these 15 psalms, songs of degrees, a kind of building up. And the more you read through them, you realize that it's building up to something. And once you're starting approaching the last songs of degrees, the last chapters, you'll see that it's starting to look more and more like a gathering of people, like a worshiping of God, like a temple, finally. And for example, when Jesus talks in Luke 10:30, you can see, you don't have to look for that, but Jesus was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this is the story of the Good Samaritan. So you see that you went down from Jerusalem and you go up to Jerusalem. So you were, I want you to picture this because this is very interesting. When you were traveling as a caravan of families to the temple to worship God, and these trips, you know, sometimes took 1 day, 2 days, weeks. And you could see the families there traveling and singing as they approached the temple these gradual songs of, and so it wasn't only an ascension in the same that they were going up, walking up to the temple, but also the psalms themselves were building up to tell us about the temple. And so, and it starts kind of sad and a state of distress, but because the sojourners were living not in Jerusalem. We're living in heathen, with the heathens surrounding him. And look in Psalm 120, in verse 5, look at this. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So you see a longing, a wishing that I wasn't here. And as it were, a good picture of us, you know, living here on earth among heathens. And we say, how long, Lord, is it going to be till we get to heaven to be with you? That we are not constantly bombarded by this wicked generation. Now, also, there's a lot of references in Chronicles. There's at least four that talk about David or the children of Israel taking the ark up to Jerusalem. Okay, taking up the ark, and so we see several references in that respect. And I, let's hear real quick. You know, we read 120, and then Psalm 121, verse 5 says, "The Lord is thy keeper; the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." Now, picture, you know, the caravan of families, you know, worried about their children. Not, don't go away; stay with us. The nights were particularly dangerous, and then them singing a little into their trip, saying, "The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." And then Psalm 22, we continue our journey here. I want you to imagine this. "I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand with thy gate within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For these are the set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy places." So you see, the longing continues. We're going to the temple. We're going to worship. We want to be there already. What an excitement. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And then we go on 123. "Unto thee lift up my eyes, O God, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." And then Psalm 128, we'll skip a few chapters there. But 128 verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table." And I can just imagine kids everywhere, and everybody looking around and seeing their families and saying, "Praise the Lord, all this fruitfulness that God has given us." And we're going to worship. "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion." We're going to the temple. We're going to worship. And the Lord from there blessing us. "And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Behold how good." And now I'm going to skip a few more. For the sake of time, Psalm 133:1. And so the caravan continues. They're approaching their destiny. What an excitement. Surely tired, surely out of a few provisions for the way, out of maybe water, maybe out of food. But looking forward to the time when we can be there and worship the Lord. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together." And we find that well-known verse within the Songs of Degrees also. Now, just one chapter before we get there to the temple. In Psalm 134 says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." And I can just imagine, we happened to arrive at nighttime. And at nighttime you would see the guards of the city. And what's up there? And they were making sure there were not enemies. And then they look closer and they call maybe a few other guards. They get ready in case we need to wake up the city. But it wasn't an army, it was just us. We happened to arrive at nighttime. And we are so tired and we are so excited to be now here. And we say, "Hi, guards, it's just us. It's our families. We're come here today. And we were going to spend the night because tomorrow we're going to church." Lift up your hands, verse 2, in the sanctuary, finally at church. Let's lift up our hands and bless the Lord. "The Lord that hath made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." And then finally we have arrived and we're here at church with all our precious family. The Lord kept us from the sun, smiting us in the head, as the Bible calls it. And then He kept us from thieves through the journey. He kept us from the night freezing cold. You know, and He kept our little ones, our newborns, our little Noah, our little Judah. And He kept all of us from getting lost, from very real dangers like wild beasts. We're finally here in Jerusalem. We've come to worship the Lord. All of us, none of us stayed behind. And when we finally get here, we sing the last chapter of our Songs of Degrees and say, "We're finally here. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord." And so this passage that we just read is right in the heart of this journey, of this caravan. Psalm 127, which tells us, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." Within these trips of several days, you couldn't but help to acknowledge God's blessing for the many children running around. You couldn't help seeing all their energy, as it were, never getting tired. Mom and dad's feet hurt, but they were just, we got there, we were going to spend the night, and they just had a bunch of energy, and they were still running around all over the place. You couldn't help but see God's hand and thank Him because He blessed you out of Zion, out of His temple, out of His holy habitation. Finally, there were some parents, certainly many of the families would be related. "Hey, Nathan! Is Philip with you?" "No." "Hey, Brother Dale, did you see Riley?" "Yeah, he's over here." So keep walking. You can see within the caravan, animals for the sacrifices, offerings. Everybody was carrying a bunch of food and such. And Joshua had a few pieces of loaves of bread and fruit, and Jonathan was carrying himself the scrolls, or directing the oxen that were carrying the loads. Everybody was hollering, talking, and with among everything that was being said was song. Everybody singing, and this is not historically necessarily accurate, but I can just imagine as a musician that these songs were not only gradual as far as the theme, but they were also gradual musically. Like I said, this is something I can just imagine. So, in other words, they were increasing in volume as they were singing. They're increasing in their harmony and their melodies until we get to the final chapter. And we're singing with all our hearts, with all our enthusiasm, that we are finally approaching church, seeing the guards of the city, and we're finally here, safe and sound. So, we go back to our, with this in mind, this context of our songs. We understand, I think all of us, from what we read on Psalm 127, that children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from God. They are His, and He has entrusted them to us. But very clearly here, it tells us how the abundance of children, the many children, the many arrows, are also in itself a blessing from the Lord. The fact that you have more than one, the fact that you have more than five maybe, it is a blessing from the Lord. It's a direct decision from the hand of God to bless your household with many arrows, or bless your quiver with many, many kids. So that's the encouragement I want to have for you. But I also, really quickly, I want to challenge you today. Because there's a very interesting phrase there on verse 5 that says, "Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them." You are a happy man, a happy wife, a happy mother, if you have a lot of them. Okay, that is without question. You are happy, you are blessed, you are blessed in your home. And then it continues to say, "They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So listen, the psalmist here doesn't apologize and doesn't shy away from saying that one of the reasons, the good reasons to have many children, is for that support that those children can give you. The support and the encouragement and the protection and the safety in numbers. It says here, "But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." This gate was the gate of the city where you lived. So when this father came to the city and came to the gates and sat with people, one of the more accurate interpretations of this, I would say, is when there were the things that were judged in the city at the gate. So in other words, every time somebody had a dispute or a fight or an argument, they were brought to the city's gates. And there they sat, the judges of the city, and then which Moses had instituted, you know, that was the first time that the judges started doing that. And then they would resolve those issues. Okay, so when there were false witnesses or false accusers against a dad, It better be something true and accurate, and that person be ready with evidence. If that dad had many children, who had through their lifetime witnessed the godliness of that father. So in other words, if the sons and daughters of a godly man were witnesses to the godliness of their father throughout their life, not everybody would bring a false accusation very easily, because guess what? Immediately, the father had many witnesses that would overrule this accusation and say, no, it wasn't so. This is what happened. And we're witnesses that he is a godly man. So we see that one of the reasons, and this is very, to me, very interesting, because here it doesn't say, oh, so that the children will be well and well nourished and all that, but no, it talks about the blessing that it is to the father, to the dad, to the husband and wife. They're a blessing to them. Blessed is the man that filled his house full of children, to fill his quiver full of arrows. He will not be ashamed. Good for him, because now he has some people that will stand for him. Maybe you haven't thought about it from this angle, but that is exactly the reason this psalm gives for the having several children. He will not be ashamed. Whoever he talks to, there will his children be to speak out for him, to protect him, to surround him with their strength, to embrace him, to uphold what he stands for. There will his children be to be behind him. Not because there are loyalty only to the family name, but because they know this man is a man of integrity, is a man of principles, and is a man that loves the Lord with all his heart. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. So, this is great. This is important. Now, let me ask you something. It says right here, happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. And now, my question to you is, can a man have many kids and still be ashamed? Well, it has to be obvious that it is possible. I found some verses that tells us about that. In other words, I'm saying that this blessing of not being ashamed, it all, not only comes from having many children, you can still be ashamed. Having a big family does not guarantee that you will not be ashamed. The psalmist here is not giving it as it were a simplistic formula to have a successful household. Yes, the abundance of kids of a young couple are in itself a blessing of the Lord. But look at what the first verses of the psalm say. Verse 1, except the Lord, what? Build the house. Build the house. And undoubtedly, I have in my mind the example that Pastor Bond has given to us is a rare thing to have a father that has taught his children in the way he has. It's uncommon. But now I'm thinking now about us. I guess what I'm saying is he has nothing to prove now. He has proven himself. But what about us? You know, what about myself and all of us that are just in that caravan, in that trip? Are we doing what we need to do to be letting the Lord build, be the one that builds our house? I think it would be a mistake. I know it would be a mistake to think that because I have a lot of kids, I'll never be ashamed. And because I have my quiverful of arrows, no matter what kind of arrows they are, no matter what point they have or how the feathers are arranged, as long as they pack it tight, I'll be a good warrior out there. And I will not be ashamed in front of my enemies. It's a fool whoever goes out to war with too many weapons that he can even carry when the weapons themselves are not prepared well. It would be very foolish of me to take all the armor of Saul, the shiny royal armor that I can't even carry because it's not well fitted. And so it would be very foolish for, in those times, a man of many arrows to be worried about the quantity and not of the quality. Now, we can only take that analogy so far because it says right here that God has to be the one that prepares our children. However, there is a responsibility of the fathers being instrumental in God's hand to do that. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. So except the house be built by the Lord. The parents have a responsibility that the church can never fulfill and will never fulfill. The parents are directly responsible for the nurture and admonition of their children. And the church is helpful and instrumental in many ways, but the main responsibility is the parents. If the children don't turn out well somehow, a parent cannot come to church and say, "Oh, this church was the reason or the cause that my children are lost and went into the world." It would never be the case. Because if the case was that the church was a problem and was doing damage to the spiritual health, the parent has the responsibility to go elsewhere. It never lies in the church's shoulders what happens with the children. But it always, God puts it on the parents' responsibility and shoulders. 1 Timothy 5:8, you don't have to turn there, but listen. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Brother Alex, that is talking about food. Well, let me tell you, what is more important, the food on our table or the spiritual nourishment? Men will not live by bread alone. So if this applies to food that we eat, and after that we go to the bathroom and that's it, that certainly applies to the spiritual nourishment. "But if any provide not for his own," and I want all the fathers to think of themselves as being talked to by this verse, "but if any of us fathers are not providing for our own, or especially those in our own house, we have denied the faith, and as it were, worse than an unbeliever." Let me ask you, Dad, are you providing the daily spiritual sustenance for your household? Are you teaching your children the Word of God every day? Not just mentioning it or just quoting it. but appointed a specific time to perform your priestly duties. Well, an objection that might come up would be, oh well, Brother Alex, not every day is the same. And I say, you're right. You're absolutely right. Every single day, you must look for an opportunity to do this. Deuteronomy 6:7, if you look at it from this angle, that thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. If you can't do it while you're sitting in your house, because you just don't sit in your house, you're always on the run. Well, do it when thou walkest by the way, walking up to the temple. I can't do it when going up to the temple. Well, do it when you are laying on your bed. I've been sick a lot. Well, do it from your bed. Well, what? I can't do it when I'm laying there. Well, because I'm sleeping. Well, do it when you raise up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. If you can't tie it to your hand, put it as a frontlet between your eyelets, your eyes. I'm sorry. When you shall write them upon, if you can't put it on your eyes because you can't see when you're driving, well, write them upon the post of your house. Do something so you can teach it to your children somehow, every day, all day long. That is your responsibility. It's not the churches or the temples. It's not your neighbors or whoever else you might want to blame for it. It's yours. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in your household. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in your quiver. But God has purposely put them there for you to do it, for me to do it. People used to travel on foot for days. And where would they go? If they wanted to go here to Portland, they would have to travel hours. They wanted to go to Seattle, they had to travel days. They wanted to go to another state, they have to travel weeks. That's the distance ratio. So whenever they heard these words, teach them, talk of them when thou walkest by the way. It put a picture on their minds for sure. Now, of those great caravans, of those great trips, of those dangers, of those things. And God says, teach it to your kids. Whatever it is that you're doing, whenever it is that is happening, just teach it to your children. Take a time to do it. The songs of the going up. Verse 2, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Yeah, that verse caught my attention. The bread of sorrow. The bread of sorrow. Look, there's many people that are constantly grieving and worrying about their children, what they're doing. And because this verse is here, it teaches us how worrying about our kids does very little to nothing. In other words, our main concern shouldn't be about being worried about them, eating bread of sorrows, as it were, but teaching them about the Lord that they should love. It would be very foolish for any given mom or dad to be so worried about if their kids are going to turn out well or not. And while doing that, while worrying, neglecting the teaching of the Bible to them. And it happens. It shouldn't happen, but it happens. And I'm right there with you, listening to what God tells us in His Word. And like I said when I started thinking about recommitting ourselves to doing things, to raising kids God's way. Worrying will not keep them in the way of righteousness, but the Word of God that cleanses us will. My second point here is labor in vain. That word labor in vain, look at verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. Is it possible to labor in vain with our big families? What do you think? Having a large family, and not even that big. I feel like I have a big family, but I'm like halfway there compared to some of you guys. But having a big family will give you many sleepless nights, especially when there's a newborn in the house. And I watched the pregnancy of my wife and this last baby, and it's not like she just started not sleeping. She hadn't been sleeping for months while she was pregnant. And now she can't sleep because she has to take care of the baby all the time. And it gave me some sleepless nights when Peter was in the hospital and other times. But it's not like life gets easy as soon as you get some kids, right? At least we can say that. So we labor. We labor and labor and labor, instructing them, protecting them, teaching them, and not only the Word of God, but just normal day-to-day things. You'll have a lot of life poured into your family and you're raising your family. You don't want to labor in vain. There's an interesting story. There was a rich man that came to visit an old man who had many children. And he said, "These are they," this was a long time ago, so it sounds like old English. "These are they that make rich men poor." So he was saying, because you have a lot of kids, you'll be poor. But he, the man with many children, he said, straight receive this answer. "Nay, my lord, these are they that make a poor man rich. For there is not one of these whom we would part with all of your wealth." You can labor in vain, but at the same time, the blessing that God bestows on your life because of your children is blessing in its own self, as long as God is building the house. Finally, being ashamed right there in verse 5. "They shall not be ashamed. Whoever is a man that hath his quiver full of them, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." The writer of the psalm doesn't apologize for admitting that his sons are his defense. One of the reasons he had them is for the strength there is in numbers. However, and this is a challenge for all of us. Proverbs 17:21 says, "He that begetteth a fool doeth to his own sorrow." A foolish son is a grief for his father and bitterness to her that bare him. In Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child," somebody can complete that sentence, "a child," what does it say? "Left to himself, bringeth his mother to what? Shame." If the children are foolish, when the family grows, there will only be more fools. And more sorrow, and more bitterness. There is safety in numbers as long as those numbers are built by the Lord. There is safety in a quiver that is full as long as those arrows are well prepared and well trained to love the Lord. It is foolishness to think that is always the case that you can go into battle and win because of the quantity of your arrows. Put it in the vernacular, the quantity of your bullets. It would be very foolish for me to go into battle with a backpack full of bullets and ammo that has been rusted and that has been spoiled and wet. You would say to me, "Brother Alex, your ammunition is all wet and all rusty. You can't even get it out of the box." And I say, "But I have a lot of it." You see the foolishness in that. It's foolishness to think that your children will not make you ashamed in front of the enemy when they're not well grounded in the Lord. Big family is only as good as the foundation upon it was built in, and the builder of it. This man is capable enough to defend himself and keep off from all injuries, being strengthened by his children, and it happened that he had a cause depending on the gate, and he is to be tried before the judges. He shall have the patronage and support of his children. There's a Bible commentary saying this. And not suffer in his plea for want of advocates. His sons will stand up and just cause for him. And so the man that fills his quiver with God-fearing children has a peculiar grace from God. To have witnesses, to attest to his faithful walk with the Lord. To conclude, what are we doing in our daily training of our kids? Are we making it a point? And I know we talk about this often, but maybe it's today a good time to remind all of us that the only way that our big families are going to succeed is to be well grounded in the Lord. It's not out of the bigness of it. It's not out of the neatness of them. It's not about what other people will think of us. It's not about anything else, but our big families, which are a blessing from the Lord, need to be daily grounded, daily taught by the Lord. Lest you have a full house, an ashamed face. Lest you have a full quiver, but have to run from your enemies. Lest you have a full nest, but not fruit of your labor. Remember that your house will stand inasmuch as it is built by the Lord, and the Lord protects it. It's good for you to be watching, but if the Lord doesn't protect it, we're very vulnerable. It's good to have protection, and however you are going to protect your home, with a baseball bat like my grandpa, with a gun like some of you, But what if the Lord is not protecting it? There'll be robbers who come in and steal. We need the Lord to be the one that protects us. We need Him. We need it to be Him that builds us. Our big family means nothing. And I'm all for big families. I hope you understand that today. But they're only as good as they're grounded in the Lord. Ephesians 6, I'm done. Children, obey your parents. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Walk them up to the temple of the Lord every day. Gradually, year by year, there should be an improvement in your children's spiritual life. Was 2018 a year where you can see very palpable a growth in them, spiritually speaking? They probably are a couple inches taller. Are they more spiritual? Are they more instructed in the ways of the Lord? Bring them up. Bring them up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Pray that you bless your word, Lord. I need to be reminded of the importance of family. You know, Lord. What an awesome responsibility, an awesome job. Help me and my brethren today to do it in your strength. Yes, to watch, make sure that you are watching. Yes, to build, but make sure that it is you that is building. And help us to bring them up. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would say to us what I didn't say. You'll help us to be committed and more committed than ever to bring him up. In Jesus' name.